My name is Jane Rieke, and this is the fourth in the series of Children with Disabilities. Our topic today is, what's a child to do? We're going to begin with some. Our discussion today is applicable to all children, although this is a series on children with disabilities. And I think we really ought to dedicate it to children with disabilities, because some of the things that we've learned that we want to talk about with reference to children of all ages, really, are bits of information that we've learned, particularly because we have been working with special children and have had to look at how they learn and moving at sequences and some of those kinds of things. And so I'm hoping that when we're through, we'll have some kind of idea about how to do a better job with all children and enhance their learning. That we'll have some new ideas about parenting, grandparenting, and teaching Sunday school, and teaching. I guess I don't like that word, teaching children. I think that children learn. And what we do is develop ways to enhance their learning. When we think of it that way, what we do is focus on the child and not on ourselves. And I'm hoping that one of these days our Sunday school materials will be child-focused instead of teacher-focused. I think it's easier to teach, easier to help children learn if the focus is on the child. You know, this morning, I think some of you were in the session on authority with Bernie Rieke. He was talking this morning about how we consider the word authority, and I want to, and particularly we talk about parental authority. And that sort of has to do with teaching too. It's the love versus the power trip. Whether we teach or discipline from a sense of power, or whether we focus on being helpful to the child and do our, and come at the problems and the issues in that way. I also hope we picked up on something that happened in the Bible study that Ruth gave this morning. It's a good Bible study, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. On God's concern and love for us all, and out of that Bible study on God's love for us, we got to talking about the love of discipline. And one person in the group talked about the child being disciplined, and the child knew he was a bad child. I guess that just makes me flinch when I hear that. Because what really happens is if a child didn't do what he was expected to do, he might not have heard, he might not have understood, he might have been busy with something else, but the simple fact was he didn't do it. And so the disappointment is that you didn't do it, and that's that. And then in love, we do what we can do to help the child do a better job, do it the next time. But we focus on the activity and not on the worth of the person. And I guess that's where I think that we want to keep our focus today. So the words that have been put on the board are, what's a child to do? What's a child to do? And that's the question that we'll always ask ourselves. And our role is then, as teachers, parents, grandparents, whatever it is, to do what we can to help that to happen. So then we look at a number of things, like if the child has the skills to do it, if the environment is conducive to it, if he understands. A lot of those ideas, and I want to put those ideas in some sort of an order with two words and one concept. So we'll start with that. And the first word that I want us to remember from the other day, we'll start with the word sequence. Development has sequences. We talked about the fact that a child will walk and then stand and then run. I mean, that's a motor sequence that he will say sounds and then words and then sentences. That's another sequence. And so we have in the sequence, developmental sequences. And when we're working with young children or people who are learning, We must know the developmental sequences. We talked about that a little bit on Monday. There are also what we would call task sequences. Task sequences. When I went into the chalet this afternoon, I noticed that they were putting in dirt to give us a new lawn. What are the sequences in that task? Can we say what might be done first?
First they cleared the rocks.
Right. Number one in that sequence. First thing was clearing the rock. Next they
need some topsoil.
Need the topsoil. Then what's the next in the sequence?
Seed,
and water. There you have your sequence. All right. So you don't say to a child or to anybody, go put the yard in, go get us some grass growing there, if they don't know the task sequence. So that's an important concept in having us be, having a child, I'm going to talk about children, or be successful, is that not only do they know the sequence, but that we know the sequence so we can be helpful. If we don't know, we can't help them find what the place to start is. So there are those two kind of sequences, ideas that I remind us about as we get into the concept of helping children learn. Another word is the word prerequisites. There are what we call developmental prerequisites. And I'm going to put that one over here. Developmental prerequisites. Those are, I'm going to add, developmental prerequisites within a sequence. So, we've already mentioned those. Let's talk about a social sequence. Developmental sequence for children in the area of social skills is that, first of all, when you want them to be with people, they learn to play next to somebody, maybe not very close. Maybe we can start with play in the same room. Let's think about the little children in Narnia, the room across. For a while, they're just in the same room. Pretty soon, they're able to play next to each other, each with his own set of blocks. Later in that sequence, they can play next to each other and share blocks. But they don't start next to each other sharing. That's later in the sequence. And later on, they can interact with each other and build things together. That's a sequence of social skills, each one a prerequisite to the other. So we have, and they build on each other. Then we have prerequisites across sequences. And that's, until you get the concept of developmental sequences sort of marching along together, that may be a fairly difficult one to think about. Sort of need that chart that we had the other day to look at that. But for example, a child may need a certain level of motor skill in order to be able to paint. Painting is in the play sequence. But you have to be able to grasp the brush either this way or this way. And if you're going to paint finally this way, so that takes a certain kind of motor skill before you can do the other. Another one that may be helpful to us. Child, if we have a child in our, let's say, Sunday school class, a certain level of attention span, a certain sequential level, before the child can listen to books. So that's a prerequisite. A child who is 1 year old is not going to be able to listen to a long story. If he's on your lap for a few seconds and pass the book, that may be it. And to insist that the child stay there and listen is defeating for the child, makes the parent angry. It's not considering the prerequisite of attention span for attending to a story. You kind of get that idea that we have to look at those kinds of things. Our underwriting purposes here is for the child to be successful, to do it well, to feel good about himself, and to do a good job. And then there's one more, what I'm going to call environmental prerequisites. environmental prerequisites that we have to think about. And that's things like, for example, things like being close enough in the environment to hear. Things like, we're going to talk about the garden that we're going to, either we're going to use all that dirt by our hand, we have to have a shovel or a wheelbarrow or some of those things in order to be able to manage that garden. We have to have something here in order to make it possible to do that. There are some medical prerequisites too, and we can call them environmental or developmental. A child has to be able to hear in order to respond to you. And that's a real one that gets us in trouble lots of times. It's a medical prerequisite. So the whole idea of what does a child have in order to do this is the definition of prerequisite. Sequence is in an orderly way, in the sequence. This and then this and then this and then this. That's a child development concept or a task concept. Prerequisite is what you have to have first. What you have to have first before you can do this or accomplish this or learn this. A prerequisite for writing on the board for me is I have to have chalk. Okay. Those two ideas are important ideas if we are going to help children be successful. And one other concept that is very important, and I call it the sometimes can do. Sometimes can do. So frequently when we talk with children or want them to do something, or in school, we start with what they can't do. And we are angry with them, or we are concerned about them because they can't. Let's back up the sequence. Look at prerequisites to find a place or a time or a way that the child can do it sometimes. Never start with can't do. Always start with can do at least sometimes. And then you become a facilitator to help it happen again, to help it happen better, help it happen in another situation. That becomes the child's learning rather than our teaching at the child. Any questions so far about that? You're looking puzzled. Kind of new ideas to think about for a while. Can you think of an example of something that a child or something you can't do and how you might find it? A sometimes can do place. Seeing a child down there up on the play equipment, looking sort of longingly at that long pole he wants to slide down. Not ready to do that. How would you help him have success and confidence in that pole sliding activity? What do you suppose he got to get up first?
Yeah.
Oh, good. All right.
What was that?
Help him get up.
Nice.
How do you do it?
All right. It's got the idea right on. Instead of starting at the top, start someplace here with support so he can do it. All right. That's the idea exactly. Got another idea?
Well, you certainly would expect a child to be able to write his name before he can write a letter.
Good.
Or even grasp the pencil.
Exactly. Excellent. We don't expect a child to subtract until he learns that. Yeah. You don't expect him to write until he's learned to do numbers. You don't expect him to do numbers when he's held, or letters usually as a cerebral palsy child when he has the pencil grasped in a fist, because you don't have the kind. So in order to get that, so you don't start with numbers, you start with the prerequisite of how you hold, the prerequisite of this activity, and the prerequisite in letter writing is making circles and straight lines. And when the control is better, then you go for letters. When you start a child like this and say, let's write your name,
jumping ahead.
Yeah, and the child can't do it, and you get frustrated about write your name, make your letter, and you're still at this stage, fifth stage, of holding the pen or chalk. Is that kind of getting the idea, aren't we? Very, very helpful. Okay, so we ask, what's the child to do instead of what are we going to do? And we can take any number of examples and work these through so that we can get some understanding of that. We can start with a high school lesson or a child in your class or a situation at home or something in church. Let's start with, let's start with a very simple one to draw. Mother, father, sister, grandmother, doesn't make any difference, says to a child, we're going to call the child maybe 3 and a half or 4. Come on, Jeremy, it's time to go to the store. Jeremy doesn't. What do you want the child to do? Is that what you want the child to do? Come go to the store? Let's give some more information. Let's say it's a blustery March day. And come on, Jeremy, it's time to go to the store. What is it that you want the child to do?
Maybe get dressed first.
All right. Get least coat. What does that child have to be able to do to be successful in getting his coat? Where do you keep the coat? Let's make up this story as we go. Where's the coat? In the front closet? Too hot. Get angry at Jeremy for not being there with his coat. Can't reach it. All right, so that's, in order to make that successful, do you want to put the coat on, just want to bring it? Put it on. Now what you're doing is saying, you are doing a good job of thinking in terms of what I want this child to do. See, I'm being specific about it. The more specific you are, the better you are going to be able to give the message to Jeremy. So if Jeremy brings the coat, let's say he does, then you say, put it on. Can Jeremy put on a coat like so? 3 and a half, 4? 3 and a half, huh? Maybe. The sleeves turned inside out.
Backwards or?
All right, okay, might be backwards. Let's say backwards. He did.
It's still pretty good, but that's not right.
Pretty good, but we need to put up the front. Here, let me help you. This is the way. All of this is going into going to the store, you understand? So we aren't angry at a child who doesn't get himself ready to do this. Then what? What do we want to put?
Put his shoes on.
Cap.
Right. Shoes tied. And then what do you want the child to do? You make this child independent or dependent? I'm just adding to the story.
Well.
See, look at all the decisions that go into this. That's great. You want the child to be independent. So what are you going to tell him to do?
Difference between telling him it's time to go out to the car or carrying him to the car.
That's right. And she wants him to be independent.
So you tell him it's time to go out to the car.
All right.
Help him.
Would you like to open the door for me?
All right. Open the door and let's go. Look how specific. This child can't miss. He's not going to fail. Because you are thinking in terms of what he can do. And you've already problem solved that if he can't do it, how you are going to help him do it. And it becomes simple, and you don't have to get angry. Because the child could not read your mind. How often we expect children to read our minds if we break it down into the sequences. And this was a task sequence that you just went through. Right? Into the sequences of what you wanted the child to do, the child can do it.
What do you do if you're in a teacher's shoes? I'm thinking of my own experience. Mm-hmm. With the last class I had, which was fourth grade.
Right.
And I had six children in that class. who couldn't even read, had been passed on, couldn't even read curriculum. Where do I start going backward? To help them.
You go back to the reading sequence. What's before pre-primer? You have to get into preschool things, don't you?
Right.
You get into matching. Can they match? Can't match words, can they match letters? If they can't match letters, can they match pictures? This all of what, and you see what we don't know usually is what is in the sequence. And that's the information that we all need. And so if you, and I told you, which I should have done, I should have led you through it to say, before reading comes what? Maybe sound recognition?
One of them was a Mexican child.
Mm-hmm.
He could read every word on the page and huge words, but he had no idea what he was reading.
All right. Now she knows what he can't, she knows what he can do.
With no comprehension.
Beautiful. And what he can't do. With reference to reading, you had defined very carefully what you want that child to do, and what you want that child to do is to understand. So you don't mix it up with reading. You focus on the important thing in the understanding sequence. Where do you go? Can he understand them when they're heard, when you say them, and not when they're read, or does he not even understand the words when you say them? And if that's the case, and I would imagine it was the case that he didn't have, he had a visual way of reading them, but he didn't have the comprehension, we have to go way back to the beginning vocabulary and bag the reading of the words and focus on the understanding. What you want the child to do is to understand. That's just beautiful. Now let's take that idea and see how many ways we can do that. So it's the... You've decided what you want the child to do is to understand. I'm just going to make it as simple and open as to understand words. All right? How many ways can you do that? How many places? We'll start with the school situation. We'll make it formal first, like in school. How many places and how many ways? These are the options over here. Okay? Give me one.
Can I count words?
Beg your pardon?
I count words.
All right. Who's going to do the acting out?
I'm the child.
All right. What are you going to say?
Show me what this means. Or do this.
Show me jumping.
Yeah.
Right, show me jumping. And if the child doesn't know jumping, what are you going to do?
Jump.
All right. This is jumping. This is jumping. All right. Show me jumping. That's one way to give me another way. Looky, he's writing. Understanding. How often can you do that during the day with the child?
Well, why do you have limitations when you've got 35 people in the room? When do you do that?
When can you do it? When can you can do that just sometimes. Can you pair kids? All they have to do is point out to him what's happening. Can you, when you're talking with people, say, let's see how many play a game with it, with some of those words. I'm going to play a game. I see something in the room that is pink. This is pink. Okay. Show me something else that is pink. That's a pink kite. Got two of them put together. All right. Show me something else that's pink. This is pink lipstick. And look what you're doing. You're putting it together in meaningful ways, and that's what you wanted the child to do, was to understand words in a meaningful way, and you all went for having it happen. That's nice. That's nice.
I used to tutor kids for like...
All right.
To read beautifully.
There you go.
And we play math games.
And what that need, in order for them to understand, to comprehend, that has to be in a life situation as much as possible. And you can look at the way I do it with the staff with whom I work, Gertrude, is I say, take your day, say the first part of the day is, let's say, opening exercises, and then you have reading, and then you have writing, and you have, okay, like that. And one way to do it is to say at one time in each of those segments, I give that child a new word. Once. Look over the period of a week, weeks, how many of those come up. The child has a picture, I can say, tell me about the picture. And I've worked with kids of different languages, and they say, oh, I made a face, and I made these and these. What did that tell you? He doesn't know the words for eyebrows, doesn't know the words for cheeks. And if I have said in my mind that I want him to understand, I'll pick that up. But the first thing I had to do was to say in my mind, to transfer from reading to what I want the child to do. And once you do that, all sorts of opportunities. Look what we've done already with that one idea, they just open up. That's what we want for children, infants, babies, to understand. We don't take that concept and move it to the disabled or the handicapped. That's excellent. That's a very good example of that. Another one you want to work with. Just for the sake of doing it another time, you've tutored. Do you want to give us an example of a problem that you've had and that's translated into the positives or the can-dos or the sometimes can-do?
I guess homework. Usually we brought along our own things to tutor when we go, but they would sometimes bring their homework. And it was just so completely out of their range that it was really difficult. And basically they brought it because they hoped that you would do it.
All right. And is that a good idea?
No.
Of course not. Take one of the examples for us and let's see what that was so out of their range and where you might start or where the teacher or parents or whoever could have started. Give us an example.
Well, the boy I tutored for 2 years, his name was Maurice. He was in fifth grade and on first grade reading level, barely.
Right.
And he would bring home short paragraphs, or like paragraphs, and then questions following. And we were, and, you know, like I said, he could read them, but when it came to questions, he just didn't have a slide.
He could read the material, but he couldn't answer the questions.
Right.
All right.
Because he didn't comprehend.
All right. And you established that the reason was comprehension.
That was my idea.
All right. Can you think of any way to break down the reading of paragraphs into some kind of a sequence that would be helpful?
What I did was words. He had word box.
Okay.
Pulling words out of that.
All right.
To start with.
So there's understanding words. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it would be to take a piece to a sentence at a time. A paragraph is made up of sentences. And take a sentence at a time and see if he understands the sentence, then you might not have to go in the word box. The problem could be words. It could be the keeping in mind of the whole paragraph.
Right.
Could be. So another way to look at it is to see if he could answer a question about a sentence. So you've broken down the task into a skill sequence. And there may be other ways. How about instead of asking and answering a question, how about having the child tell you what it said? That maybe the question was the problem. Don't know that, do we? So the problem could be, didn't have lack of comprehension. Could have been lack of comprehension for a paragraph long item. Could have been the problem with the question. So there are a number of things that we can look at. But your ultimate goal is to start where the child can do it. And then to start building again.
They see things in reverse. I mean, is that necessarily the dyslexic or is it just, is it sometimes minor that can be corrected?
It may be minor that can be corrected in the first when they're first starting to read and write. But if it doesn't correct itself by the second or third grade, you ought to. it would be a special kind of thing. Let's take this idea and transfer it to a concept to be taught. It can be a Narnia group. It can be a preschool where you work. It can be a Sunday school class. It can be a project that you want to do with your grandchild. It could be anything.